Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the church of Corinth. Each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Divisions have formed in the church, and they're making a celebrity of different people. It's a bit like an episode of Strictly. I'm assuming here when he says, I belong to Christ, it's a kind of smug retort, pretending you're better than the others. Well, how much are those early divisions echoed in the contemporary church? So much so, I'm a progressive, or I'm a traditionalist. I'm evangelical, or I'm Catholic. I'm liturgical, or I'm informal. And these are mirrored really in our wider society, where we have divisions as well. I'm a Brexiteer, I'm a Remainer, I'm a climate change denier, I'm a climate change activist. He's elite, she's left behind, etc., etc. Amid the early and contemporary church, there are divisions and there are fractures in our society. And with these in mind, I'd like to ask the question, what is the purpose and the nature of the church? The purpose and the nature of the church. Well, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote, and this is the Greek, ho logos gae auto struraro, translated, the message about the cross. But that word logos, I think, is weakly translated into message. That word logos is more like the wisdom of the cross. I mean, we recall it in our great Christmas reading, don't we? The word was made flesh, the logos was made flesh. So the wisdom of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but is the power of God to those who are being saved. Paul is asking, if you like, for a cross-shaped wisdom and life. We cannot say, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, because all of these people, if they're living cross-shaped lives, should be emptied of celebrity status. In fact, we should be emptied of all sorts of labels. You cannot say, I'm a Remainer, or I'm a Leaver, or I'm a climate radical, or I'm a climate change denier, etc., etc., because all of these, if you like, self-definitions should become emptied. It should just be, I live a cross-shaped life. So within this background, the church is a place both for as a force for unity, drawing people together, but also allowing divergence, allowing difference. And that's because the church is based on both a particular event, the Christ event, the one God-man in the one place, at the one time, in the one context. If you like, that's the unity. But that one event has a universal application. It allows for diversity. So, for example, there is one table of the Last Supper, but there are now countless altar tables in every country around the world, and every day in those different countries, the Eucharist, the altar table, will be used for diverse purposes. Sometimes it'll be used commemorating a funeral, sometimes a marriage, sometimes a parish mass, sometimes an ordination, sometimes for the sick, and the list goes on. Starts with a unity, allows diversity. And then you have both the prophet Isaiah and the account of Matthew's gospel, where we have that phrase, the Galilee of the nations, or the Galilee of the Gentiles. Looking forward, if you like, to a worldwide message, not just preaching to like-minded people, but looking out towards those nations. The prophets and the gospel are there for every context. So if you like, you have the incarnation, God taking on flesh in one particular person, one time, but that message is expansive, it is universal, it's a significance that pours out from that one time and one place. Isaiah and the gospel are spoken into the place of diverse religions, diverse ethnicities. And it's that place, not the pure place on the Temple Mount, but that place of diversity where the light comes, the light shines in the darkness. And so to try and unpack further the purpose of the church, I'd like to draw on the Roman Catholic theologian Henri de Lubac. And he had this kind of catchphrase. And the catchphrase was, the Eucharist makes the church, and the church makes the Eucharist. The Eucharist makes the church. In the Eucharist, we have a memorial, a commemoration of a particular event. The Passover of Christ is what we're commemorating. The one unique passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. It's a particular event. But the church makes that particular event real in diverse places, for diverse purposes, and in different times throughout history. And all the time knitting, if you like, that one event together in its many, many, many different contexts. So we have at the end of our Eucharistic prayer, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. And to reply with Amen. We are, if you like, personally knit together in the community which is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because we're personally knit together, we are also knit together as a community. We don't offer the Eucharist in Paul's name or Apollos' name or Cephas' name, but through being knit together in God. And if you like, the life, that one life of the risen Jesus is poured out in the wine of the Eucharist that is poured into our hearts as we consume it. We share that one chalice. We share the peace before we receive that chalice. We are knit together with one another. But then we are sent out in God's name. Go in the peace of Christ. We are knit together with God. The Anglican theologian John Milbank wrote a book, The Word Made Strange. And strange is important because we hear, you know, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We hear this so often. But that the Word was made flesh, that the Logos was made flesh, should be shocking. It's even a monstrous event that, you know, the God, the transcendent God, the all-powerful God, becomes a weak human child. The familiarity of saying this empties itself of that strangeness, that shockingness. That one event of God becoming human should be shocking. But then John Milbank goes on to say that the church is the continued event of the ingestion of the body of Christ. We cannot say who is part of the church and who is not. If we receive the body of Christ, if we ingest that body of Christ, we become the body of Christ. This is a universal society, a place of reconciliation and peace, because we are becoming the body of Christ. When Jesus walked the earth, that one person walking the earth, you had the city, the polis. The polis were city-states subject to empire, slavery, trade guilds, family connections. But Jesus is saying, this is universal. This is a place of reconciliation and peace. The Eucharist makes the church. The Eucharist makes us that place of reconciliation and peace. But also the church makes the Eucharist. The church needs to proclaim the Logos. That's why we're here. We need to proclaim the Word. We celebrate the Passover of Christ, but also in diverse places. We gather people together, we're drawn in. We gather people together, we proclaim, you've heard the word spoken. We break bread, we share that bread. Only the church can do this. The church makes the Eucharist. The church, in effect, offers what it is. The church is self-giving. It offers the body of Christ, which it is. Again, it's all about unity. We do not offer a minister. We do not even offer music or buildings. This is hospitality. These things are important, but they're not the definition of what the church is. The church is about self-giving, about giving of ourselves. We offer what we are. We offer, if you like, that Christ event that we have eaten, we then share. So getting back to the Galilee of the nations, of the prophet Isaiah and of our gospel. The Galilee of the nations, with diverse cultures, with diverse ethnicities and diverse religions. It wasn't the sort of pure place of the Temple Mount. And then we have that prophecy. The light has dawned in those cities, in this region, the Galilee of the nations. And the response is that those places should seek an inherent unity, a place of reconciliation and peace. Not division and domination, but reconciliation and peace. And there's a warning in where that place is. The Galilee of the nations, that area, has a capital. And the capital in the time of Jesus was a place called Megiddo. Does anyone know the translation of Megiddo? It's more common name. The common name of Megiddo is Armageddon. We need to look to our essential unity, not to division and domination. If we divide, we are likely to fall. Because if we don't take, if you like, a common responsibility and interest in something like climate change or about illness, its current thing, the virus, about migration, which is how, you know, global movements happen, global poverty, if we don't take our role in this seriously as part of humankind, we will fall. Together, we need to seek a mutual interest. We need to tackle issues of justice and ecology together. We need, if you like, a cross-shaped unity. For the logos of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God.